Good morning, church. Hey, it's 11, right? It's 11. Good morning. Come on. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so grateful to be with you. Really enjoying getting to thaw out while I'm down here. I left home with a foot of snow on the ground, and it's cold. So grateful to be here. No rain. It's wonderful. Man, I'm so excited that we have this opportunity to seek the face of God together. Jesus said, my house shall be a house of what? Prayer, right? My house shall be a house of prayer. Now, worship happens in the house of the Lord, right? How many of you enjoy worship and song? Man, we got a great worship team. Preaching happens in the house of the Lord, right? How many of you are grateful for your pastor? Amen. Service happens in the house of the Lord. Giving happens in the house of the Lord. Fellowship happens in the house of the Lord. And Jesus said, of all things, my house shall be a house of prayer. Well, come on, give me some conviction. My house shall be a house of prayer. There we go. My house shall be a house of prayer. Jesus loves it when we pray. God has promised to answer when we pray, when we call upon him. We see this in the book of Acts from the very beginning. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they were all gathered in one place together. They were praying and fasting, it says there. And then the Holy Spirit led them in that moment. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says they were gathered together. We can infer there that they were probably then praying as well. That's part of what they were doing, because that's what we read the last time that statement was used. They were all together. And then, as you know, Acts 2, Pentecost happens. And we see this over and over and over again in the book of Acts. God's people pray, the Holy Spirit responds. And sometimes we wonder in our lives, our own personal lives and our ministries, sometimes we wonder, why isn't God moving? Well, are you praying? And not just you by yourself, but are you praying together as a church? Corporate prayer is something that God loves, something that God has promised to bless. And that's why we're here this morning, to seek him. The best way to begin to apply God's word, we believe, is to pray it, into action by way of scripture-fed, spirit-led, worship-based prayer. So that's what we're gonna do. And as we do this, I wanna encourage you. I wanna put you at ease here. If you're a little nervous about this time and the thought of praying and praying out loud together, we're gonna ease our way into this. We'll start with some prayer. This is just you one-on-one with the Lord. We'll have some prayer where it's responsive. We're all together praying at the same time, some words that are on the screen. And then there will be some prayer where we get together in groups. And in that moment, I want to encourage you. Maybe right now you're thinking, like, I don't know about this. But I want to encourage you. Don't have to. You can stay by yourself if you want. That's okay. But I would encourage you, at least get into one of those groups. And then maybe, just maybe, try praying. We're going to make it really easy. We'll have some prompts on the screen. It's simply a fill-in-the-blank kind of a sentence. The reason for that is so that if you're at all uncomfortable with prayer, we want to make prayer accessible for you. But it's also designed to level the playing field. So those of us in the room who are very comfortable praying and really comfortable praying out loud with other people, I want you to use the prompts. Why? Because it'll be less intimidating for some others in our group that maybe are not as comfortable or familiar with prayer. Can you do that? Can we do that together? It'll really help in the moment. As we were praying and thinking about this Sunday and knowing the series that you've been in and the Sunday you had last week, and we want to celebrate what God is doing, and we want to look forward with great anticipation to what God is going to do through your generosity. And as we prayed, Lord, what do you have for today? He brought us to Mark chapter 12. Would you open your Bibles with me, if you have them, to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. Mark 12, 41 through 44. Passage that I'm sure you're familiar with. Says this: Jesus sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make just a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on, all the money she had available for bread that day, some fruit and some vegetables. All that she had, all was what she needed, and she gave all of that away. You can imagine being in her shoes, and all you have are these two little coins, and you're watching people dump tons and tons of money into the offering box, and then it's your turn to go. And maybe in that moment, you're feeling ashamed that you don't have more to give. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe you're worried. You're worried about what others might think of you as you put yours in compared to those who've gone before you, those who will come after you. I love this passage because right before this, Jesus confronts the religious leaders for their hypocrisy, for their self-centeredness, that what they do is for their glory, not really for the glory of God. And then he comes to this next story. And a widow, the least of these, the vulnerable one, the one who didn't have anything, came and gave everything. I remember my kids, when they were younger, my wife and I were getting ready to go on a mission trip to Papua. And we explained to our kids the process and how we were having to raise a little bit of money to go. And the next thing we know, four kids, they all came up from their rooms with all of their coins and little Ziploc bags that they'd been saving from the little chores they do. I mean, we're talking several months worth of nickels and quarters and things like that. And they came with all of it and they handed it to us and they said, here, we want people in Papua to know about Jesus. It was everything they had. It was really nothing compared to how much we needed, and yet it was an incredible gift. Why? Because it was everything that they had. Jesus points to this widow as someone who has done something incredibly significant. You see, in a world filled with comparison and competition and criticism, some of us maybe, like the widow, are quietly wrestling with feelings of inadequacy, invisibility, and insignificance. We can begin to wonder whether our lives really matter or if our efforts are making any lasting difference. The scripture tells us a different and a better story, and today's passage reveals really the heart and values of Jesus and how Jesus sees the heart. And really what's happening here, one of the great things that's happening here, is that even though she's nothing and had nothing, Jesus saw her. Jesus noticed her, took note of her. In Genesis 16, verse 13, it says that it refers to God as the God who sees. God is the God who sees. He sees you. You're not forgotten. You don't go unnoticed. Jesus sees you. In Psalm 139, verses 1 through 3, it says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. God knows you. He sees you. He knows your every move. He's with you. You're not forgotten. You are deeply loved. God is close to you. Even in the moments of obscurity and those moments when you think nobody sees you and you wonder, does it really matter? God sees you. God sees you. Why don't we praise him today as the God who sees? There's a prompt that's going to come on the screen here. And we'll just begin one-on-one with the Lord. You in the quietness of your heart with the Lord. Pray something like this. Jesus, thank you that you see and my life matters to you. Even when. And what are some of those moments where you think, I don't know if this matters. I don't know if this is making any difference. I don't know, God, if you see me. I don't know, Jesus, if you see, if it really matters. Jesus, thank you that you see and my life matters to you even when. Would you pray that? Just take a minute to pray that. Just you one-on-one with the Lord. Jesus, thank you that you see and my life matters to you even when. Jesus, I thank you that you see and our lives matter to you even in the moments where we feel unseen, even in the moments where it doesn't seem that our efforts have any value to others around us, even in the moments where it seems that all we have to give is really so little. But a drop in the bucket of what's needed. But God, you see. And I thank you, Jesus, that you see us. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand as we continue to worship the Lord in song this morning? You can be seated for a moment if you'd like. poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And Jesus called the disciples over. Truly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Jesus called the disciples over because here was a teaching moment. Jesus had just pointed out the attitude and the motives of the religious leaders, the Pharisees and others of that day, that really what they were doing was so that they would be seen. They got all caught up in being seen. Every one of us has an innate need to feel seen and heard and valued. But for these guys, that totally consumed them. It drove them. It took hold of their hearts, got twisted, and became something that they lived for. That their religious leadership, while they might say, this is for God, really, the hidden motive there was that they would be seen. And Jesus says, hey, look. And if you're the widow putting in the 2 coins, you probably don't want to be noticed in the moment by other people. You don't want people to see the little you have. But it's everything that she had. And she gave it all to Jesus. Jesus says, look. Look. Look at her heart. The motive behind this. She's put in everything. I mean, what motivates a person to literally unload everything? Which means she wasn't going to eat. She wasn't going to have dinner that night. Unless maybe someone brought her over to their house. She gave it all away. Why? 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him, whose motive is the glory of God. Coming from a heart that's overflowing with worship for God. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man would look at others who had come with their abundance and their wealth and had dropped in large amounts of money and said, now that's real giving. And it is. It's significant giving. Don't get me wrong. Don't get Jesus wrong here. That matters. But so does the tiny, yet all sacrificial gift that the widow brought. It matters. The Lord sees the heart behind the giving that we're doing. Whether you give a lot because you can or you can only give a little, what's the heart in it? What's the motivation in it? And let it be for the glory of God, seeking to please him rather than impress those around you. This provides us a great opportunity to pray, a prompt, a prayer of surrender. When Jesus taught us to pray, he gave us a pattern to pray in Matthew 6. Pray this way. And it begins with worship, as we just did. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. And then before we ask him for anything, it's a response of surrender. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, in me, through me, as it is in heaven. I haven't asked him for anything yet. See, prayer is so much more than just bringing our requests, our grocery list of requests to God. Prayer is worship. The one enduring motive for prayer is worship. Even if we can't think of something to pray for, we have reason to pray because God's worthy to be sought and he's worthy to be praised. And then we come to him humble, humbling ourselves before him to say, not my will, but yours be done. And so let's pray this. Forgive me for trying to impress people instead of seeking to please you, especially when. We'll just leave that prompt on the screen here for a moment. And again, just one-on-one with the Lord in this moment of confession. Forgive me for trying to impress people instead of seeking to please you, especially when? When is that for you? Maybe it is in your giving. Doesn't mean you give less, but you change the heart in it. Maybe it's in your serving, your area of ministry, your place of leadership here in the church or in the community. The way you work and provide for your family, what's the motive in it? Forgive me for trying to impress people instead of seeking to please you. Especially when. As we close out this moment in prayer, I want to invite you to stand with me. And we're going to pray in a way that's a responsive prayer. In other words, I'm going to pray a line, and then all of us together will pray a line. This will get all of us engaged and involved, and this will start to pave the way for us to pray together out loud. In a moment, we'll pray in groups, but this will give us a warm-up to that, if you will. So on the screen here, we've got the prompts here. I'll read the first line, and then you read the congregation line. Make sense? I hope so. We confess that our motives can sometimes be a mess. Forgive us. Give us wisdom and assurance to know that you see. For those who feel unseen in their sacrifice, help us. For those in seasons of scarcity, be their provider. For those entrusted with abundance, Holy Spirit, teach us to see like Jesus sees. May our lives consistently declare that, honoring you. May our hearts always assure us that you can be trusted and you are enough. Let's continue to worship the Lord with our song.
My cross you bore so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will see of your goodness forevermore. As your glory fills this place. Jesus, Jesus, you deserve the praise, worthy is your grace, worthy God.
I'd like you to stay standing, because in a moment we'll get into smaller groups to pray. Jesus got so excited to bring the disciples over to talk about what had just happened, what they had just watched. And I just want you to put yourself in the sandals of the disciples for a moment. And you're there and you watched the giving happen. Some people putting in a lot of money, some people putting in a little less, but still significant. And then this widow drops two little coins in. And that got Jesus excited? But you see, there's something that happened there that's more than the amount given. It's the sacrifice that was made. You see, someone, let's just say someone had $10,000. And they came, and the Bible talks about giving a tenth, giving a tithe, and they give $1,000. That's beautiful. That's worship. That's obedience. That's good. That's godly. Praise the Lord. 1,000 divided by 10,000, you reduce that down, you do the math, that's 1 out of 10, that's 10%. Significant, beautiful, godly. And then there's this widow who only had two coins. And she could have just given one, and that would have been significant. I mean, if any of us, maybe some of you are able to, but what if all of us were able to give away 50% of what we made? Man, what else might God do? But she didn't give away just one, she gave away both of them. She gave away everything. She sacrificed it all. You see, we do well to remember that God measures giving not by what we give, but by what we keep for ourselves. Not about how much goes in, but about how much we're hanging on to afterward. And God has promised to meet our needs, but sometimes what we think are our needs are so much greater than what our actual needs are. And what if we gave more of that away? What if we were a little more like the widow, willing and ready and excited to sacrifice all, if that's what God asks for? You see, Jesus' concern is not equal amounts, but equal sacrifice, empowered by his grace. And why not? Because Jesus sacrificed all for you and for me. And so why not? As he leads, as he calls, why not? I want to invite you to turn to smaller groups, 3, 4, 5 people around you. Some of you might need to turn around and engage with a couple people behind you. Remember, again, if this totally freaks you out, that's okay. If you want to stay by yourself, that's okay. But I would encourage you, just go ahead and at least get into a group. You're not obligated to pray. And by the way, this isn't a go around the circle and pray, because that forces people to pray. We're not going to force people to pray, but we're going to allow people to pray. And so just one by one, and I want to encourage you, as the prompt is here, just pray it one time and let someone else pray. And you can jump in again. And we're going to pray and make this request of the Lord. Jesus, because you gave your all for me, give me grace to what? What does it look like for you to serve him today, to sacrifice for him today? What sacrifice is he calling you to make? Maybe he's been calling you to make it, and you need his grace to finally take that step today. Jesus, because you gave your all for me, give me grace to what? Would you pray that together for a minute or two? I want to encourage you just to go right to prayer as we do this. Jesus, because you gave your all for me, give me grace to what? How is he calling you to serve? To sacrifice? To reach out? How will you respond to his incredible sacrifice for you? Maybe 30 more seconds. Just continue to seek him. Give me grace to what? I want you to stay in your groups. Stay where you're at. But let me guide us in one more way. This passage brings into light the sacrifice of a widow. And if you were a widow in that day, you were extremely vulnerable. It was easy to be taken advantage of, easy to be harmed. James 1:27 says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Pure, faultless religion is to live a pure and godly life. But not just that. It's to take care of the vulnerable who are around us, those in need. And it could be that they're in need because of something physical or something mental or emotional or relational. Or maybe they're completely lost and don't know Jesus yet. Would you pray this together? Jesus, lead me to minister to, and you can fill in the blank with that individual or family or group, lead me to minister to them this week in their time of need. Would you pray that together? What is the Lord putting on your heart this morning? Pray for. Jesus, lead me to minister to who? Jesus, thank you for going out of your way for us, for sacrificing all for us, that we would know you, be brought back to you, have the forgiveness of our sin and the incredible hope of eternal life, and to live the rest of these days with your Spirit dwelling in us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, lead us to minister to others. Lord, help us to get over ourselves and be willing to sacrifice our time and our energy and our resources to be used by you to meet the needs of those around us so that Jesus, you are known. You are experienced. You are glorified. We give you all glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's continue to worship the Lord in song together.
Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified. Just the doorway into resurrection life. And if I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. And when you return in glory, with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same.
Stay standing for just a few more minutes here. I'm only a couple minutes for me, and then we'll sing again. Real quick, I heard what was happening behind us as we were singing that song, as we started singing that song. How many of you met someone today in your prayer group that you had not met before? Hey, look around real quick with all the hands up. Look around. Raise them up high. Raise them up high. This is part of what happens when we pray together as the church. And maybe, I won't make you raise your hand, but maybe you're here and you feel like, and maybe you've come a couple times. And I think the greeting team does an awesome job. Maybe somehow, some way though, you snuck in here. Yeah. You've done a great job building a culture of welcoming and friendly. But maybe even with that, maybe there's someone in here who's still just feeling disconnected, not yet really seen, not yet really known. But when we pray, and when we pray together, that starts to change too. Amen? I facilitated prayer like this for a church this last summer, large church in the Seattle area. And at the end of the service, I had one couple tell me that they prayed and had turned to, the people in front of them had turned to them, and they met each other. And they prayed together, and they said, we've been sitting behind them for 5 years, and we never knew their names. We'd never met. Hey, what are we doing in church? That all changes when we pray together. Amen? Amen. The way Jesus taught us to pray is a pattern of worship, reverence, and then a response of submission and surrender, and then making our requests. Requests that would glorify him. And then a final prayer of what we call readiness, getting battle ready. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Because the enemy is going to try to trip us up. And when obedience to Jesus becomes costly, when it really does feel like it's costing everything we have, and not necessarily just in monetary forms, but in our time, in our energy, in our emotions, when it's starting to feel too costly is when the enemy wants to work his way in and say, yeah, that's ridiculous. You don't need to do that. And we choose to go our way rather than the sacrificial way that Jesus is calling us to go, because on the other side of that sacrifice is incredible blessing. Blessings for the heart and the soul that no money can buy. And you can only experience in obedience to Jesus. And the devil knows that, and he doesn't want you to experience that. So, as we close out, let's close out with a responsive prayer like we did before. I'll pray the top line, you pray the bottom line. That's coming up on the screen here. And let's pray this with boldness, with conviction. We praise you as the God who sees, and we praise you as the God who acts on our behalf. Lord, by your grace, make us ready to walk in obedience and faith. If you call us to obscurity, if you lead us beyond our comfort zone, if you bless us with greater influence, if you ask for more, here we are, Lord. And all of us together, you are worthy. To you be the glory. Amen? Amen. It's been a joy to be with you today. God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us for Champion Forest Online. We hope today's message encouraged and inspired you. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We would love the opportunity to get to know you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. We're so glad you joined us today, and we'll see you again next time.